Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. Little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our Patreon sponsors. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon sponsor, please go to our website, bodybuildinglegendshow.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the link for becoming a Patreon sponsor. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding, and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. On today's show, we have a really special interview with Mr. Red Laurel. Red was the 1960 AAU Mr. America winner, and he was a big mentor in Boyer Coe's life, and he helped Boyer Coe get started with training and mentored him on his posing and helped him out throughout his whole career. And Red was also one of the last people, probably the last person besides his wife Judy, to see Bill Pearl alive, because Red visited with him just right before Bill's death. So we are going to have a great conversation with Red Laurel. Thanks to Boyer Coe for setting this up. He gave me Red's number. And Red is really a fascinating person. 86 years old. He has been working out his whole life. He runs a really big gym out in Louisiana called Red's, of course. And believe that he said they have 300,000 square feet in this facility. Yeah. So it's just an amazing place, and he's an amazing person. So you guys are going to really enjoy this interview. All right. I just got back from Denver, Colorado, the company I work for, Pro Physique, where I am an online coach. They sent all the coaches out to Denver, Colorado for the weekend. So it was a really, really good time. And it was cool because I got to meet a lot of the coaches that I never get to meet because we're obviously all doing this online. We don't work together, you know, in an office. So this was the first time I got to meet a lot of them, and they were really, really cool people. So we had a really good time out there. Went to Red Rock and went hiking and went to some restaurants. And now I am officially fat. I am really overweight. So I'm starting the diet today, 21 weeks out from my birthday, which I want to be in great shape. So I have got some work to do. No more trips, no more restaurants, no more drinks. I've got to get in shape. It's amazing how when you get older, your body just gets out of shape so quickly. It's unbelievable. But my training's going good, and I'm training really heavy, and I've built some muscle, I think, over the last few months. So now I just have to maintain that muscle as I slowly lose this fat. I want to get down to probably like a 32.5-inch waist by March 10th, which is my birthday. So I've got some work to do, but I think I can do it if I stay dedicated. But I'm ready. I'm ready to diet. So that's the first key. You got to be ready. You got to be ready to do this mentally before you can actually do it. And I am totally ready. So no more trips coming up. We got the Olympia in December, which I think I'm going to, but I'm not really sure yet because it's kind of an expensive trip. And then I'm going to Maui in January with my family. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So I should be in good shape by January. And then, of course, the birthday coming up right after that on March 10th. So after we get done with our interview with Red, I'm going to read a article from a really good old Iron Man magazine. This comes from the August 1960 issue of Iron Man. And this was the year that Red won the Mr. America. So they've got the Mr. America coverage in here. And they also have an article called How I Became a Mr. America, as told to Perry Rader by Lloyd Laurel. And that, of course, is Red. That's his real name, Lloyd. So I'm going to read this right after we get finished with our interview with Red. And I think you guys will really enjoy it. I've been buying a lot of, as I mentioned before, I've been buying a lot of these old Iron Man and Muscular Development magazine. So this came from one of the ones I just purchased last week. So it was perfect timing. What else you got going on? My YouTube channel. If you guys are not subscribed to my YouTube channel, please do so. It's under my name, John Hansen, and I am going to be finally doing those videos I've been talking about forever, the training. So it's going to be an over 50 training, and it will be on my YouTube channel. I'm hoping to put up a couple a week. So if you guys are not on there, go check that out. And also, I always put the interviews that we do here on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I also put them on YouTube as well. So there are, when I do that, I can also add pictures and videos. So that's pretty cool to see. So I will also put this interview we're doing with Red. That'll be up there as well. All right. I did get a couple emails. So I know we haven't been on the show in a couple of weeks. So thank you guys for the emails. If you guys are interested in sending me an email, you can do it at naturalolympia@gmail.com. All right. This first one is from John Hartman. And John says, hey, John, just checking in, wondering how you made out with the hurricane. Hopefully you were safe and your place wasn't damaged. Thanks for the continued work on the podcast. It's still my favorite by a mile. I usually save it to listen to when I'm in the garage doing something fun, cleaning one of my cars. The Muscle Maturity podcast has been good as well. I listen to that one at work. How's your training going? I'm having a lot of fun in the gym. All right. Thanks, John. Thanks for the email. Yeah, as I said before, we got really lucky with the hurricane. We didn't get anything out here in Tampa. Thank God for that. But some of the people south of us weren't so lucky. Sanibel Island, Fort Myers, and a lot of places got flooding. Orlando got flooding, believe it or not. And they're in the middle of the state. So it was kind of weird. But yeah, Tampa got really lucky. My training is going good, John. Thanks for asking. Going really heavy. I'm really feeling really strong. Trying to really control the movement on all my workouts, all my exercises, the positive and negative. I'm going a little bit slower, really feeling it in the muscle, but I'm still training heavy. We just finished the power cycle a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm on my mass cycle. I follow that MP6 workout that my book is available on Amazon and on my website, johnhansonfitness.com, if you guys are interested in purchasing that. But I've been following this routine, you know, this power cycle, mass cycle routine for probably the last 5 years. And it really works well for me. You're not really training to failure, so that avoids the injury, but I'm still able to work the muscles really hard by training heavy and doing the right amount of reps for each workout. So, yeah, training is going great. So I'm really looking forward to this diet and getting this fat off and seeing if I put on any muscle when I finally get ripped. This email says, hey, John, thanks you for a really enjoyable tribute to the great Bill Pearl. I enjoyed the podcast and having now also watched the YouTube version, it was great to see Richard Baldwin and Boyer Coe in conversation with you. Most of all, to see how impressive Bill Pearl's physique was, particularly in his late 40s. That is a look that is still inspirational to me. Functional power as well as symmetry and proportion. Thanks again, John, for the enjoyment you give each Bodybuilding Legends podcast. P.S. I'm looking forward to hearing Frank Richards if that interview was able to take place. Here in England, I remember at the time the terrible accident he had. It'll be great to hear his story. Best wishes, Mike. Yeah, still haven't gotten a hold of Frank Richard. Frank has a page up on Facebook that's like a tribute page to Frank, but he does not run it. I believe it's his friend or one of his relatives. So I've been talking to them for literally months, trying to get him on the show, and they keep saying they're going to ask him, but nothing's really happened with that so far, but I'll keep trying. I did talk to Joe Abenda. Joe Abenda is the 1962 Mr. America, and I want to thank Artie Lamparella, who I know on Facebook, and Artie is good friends with a lot of these guys, including really good friends with the late Dennis Tinerino. So Artie got me in contact with Joe, and he knows quite a few of those guys from the old school days. So Joe, me and I had a great conversation. And he was going on vacation with his wife. So when he gets back, he promised to do an interview. And he sounds like he's going to be a great interview. So I can't wait to talk to Joe in a couple of weeks. So look forward to that one. And I'll just work on whatever other shows I can get going, guys. It's hard to reach these old school guys. But a lot of the problem is they're just not – it's hard to find out where they're at. Some of them are on Facebook, but a lot of them don't know how to do, of course, social media. And they're not on these social media platforms. And if you don't know somebody that knows them, it's hard to find them. So, but I'll keep looking. I also got an email from our Apple podcast reviews. So if you're listening to the show on Apple, you can leave a review of the show right on there on their website. And this one comes from Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company B. It was from May. I never saw it before, but I just saw it. He says, great show. My dad was an amateur bodybuilder in the 80s. I grew up around and always loved bodybuilding because of that. The depth of John's interviews and the breadth of guests he has is absolutely awesome. John's interviews are entertaining and informative at the same time, harken back to the past, and would make even a hater of bodybuilding enjoy the interviews. This is a must listen. All right. Thank you, Boogie Woogie. Thanks for the review. And like I said, if you guys listen to us on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review there. All right. I think that's all I got, guys. So here, without any further ado, is our interview with Red Laurel, the 1960 Mr. America winner. You're going to enjoy this one. Here we go. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I have a very special guest with us this week, Mr. Red Laurel, who is the 1960 Mr. America winner, and he runs a very successful health club, gym, out in Louisiana. He was a mentor to Boyer Co. So, Red, welcome to the show. I'm really happy to talk to you.
Thank you, John. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, Boyer has a lot of great things to say about you, of course. You've helped him get into bodybuilding, and you were helping him throughout his whole career. We just talked to him like a week ago. He said that we should talk to you because he said you were one of the last ones to see Bill Pearl, I guess, right? Before Bill passed away recently.
I visited with Bill about a month ago, a month and a half or so.
Okay.
And I drove up to his house and spent about 3 hours talking to him.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he was very good at mentally.
How long have you known Bill?
I met Bill when I was in the Navy.
Okay.
And that would have been probably in the early, mid-50s.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I had won the Mr. Hawaiian Islands, and he was the guest poser.
Oh, okay.
And would win in the contest. I got a chance to travel with him to all the Hawaiian Islands. So we got to know each other pretty well.
Okay.
And then when I was discharged at a submarine base out of San Francisco.
Okay.
And Bill was at that time in Sacramento.
Okay.
And I would, on the weekends, as a guy that was working, and he would take me back with him to Sacramento. And I'd go about maybe 5 or 6 times during that period while I was waiting for my discharge.
So you were saying you met Bill at the Mr. Hawaiian Islands contest. So you competed
in he was the guest poser, and I won the contest.
Okay.
And this was in the early 50s.
Wow. And then you guys traveled together after that?
That one time we traveled to all the Hawaiian Islands, and both of us posed. Of course, nobody looked at me with Bill there.
Yeah. And how old were you then, Red?
Well, I was in my early 20s.
Wow. Okay. So you guys stayed in touch. You stayed in touch all throughout the whole years, all these years, huh?
Yeah, we did. We actually did stay in touch.
Okay. Yeah.
And then my wife and I are both motorcyclists. So we both rode up there several times and visited with him.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. How was Bill when you saw him last month?
Oh, he couldn't walk. Mm. And all he could just sit around. But all in all, he was sound good, you know. He could talk real well. And we visited about 3.5 hours.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And then he passed shortly after that, right? After you saw him?
Yes, sir. His wife called me up about 4 or 5 days after my wife and I were home.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove home. It took us about a week to get home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what got you into weightlifting, Red? What got you started?
Well, actually, I had an uncle that was in the military, and he was a bodybuilder sort of back then.
Okay.
This would have been in the 40s.
Okay.
And he kind of inspired me a lot. But probably the best thing ever happened to me was I flunked the 5th grade. And then when I got to the 7th grade, I went to Catholic schools all my life. And we had nuns back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first lay teacher in our school history. And he had been on a submarine, and he worked out. He used to tell us stories about the submarines and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go work out with he and his son.
Mm.
And I was just in the 5th grade then.
Okay.
But I've been working out since I'm 7 years old.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. This was your uncle now that you were working out with?
No. This was a friend, a school teacher.
School teacher. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So because you flunked 5th grade, you got to see the school teacher in 7th grade.
Exactly. Had I not flunked 5th grade, that wouldn't have happened.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Well, sometimes you're supposed to flunk, you know.
Right. So what was it like back then in the 40s? Because I'm sure most people weren't working out, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, if you worked out, you couldn't play football.
Right.
But now, if you don't work out, you can't play football.
Yeah.
So things have changed tremendously. since those days.
Yeah. Yeah, they thought that athletes would get muscle bound back then. Right?
Exactly.
Right. So where did you work out? What kind of, was it a YMCA or something?
My house.
Oh, your house. Okay.
Oh, right. My dad built me a whole bunch of dumbbells. He worked at a big plant, and he built all the dumbbells for me. So chin and bars, just like everybody else. Everybody did the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you started when you were 7, you said?
7.
Wow.
And I put a picture on the wall of a Mr. America. And I think back then it was Clarence Ross. And I said, I want to be Mr. America.
Wow, no kidding. So were there many contests around back then?
Actually, the Mr. New Orleans contest had been and it was an open contest. Mm-hmm. I mean, things are totally different than back then.
Sure.
But, I competed in the Mr. New Orleans when I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 14, I competed again. And then I won at about 16.
Holy cow, 16.
Well, that's a long time ago. You got to remember, not everybody was working out.
Right. How many competitors were in it that year you won it?
It was held at a beach area, like Pontchartrain Beach.
Yeah.
Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always held the Mr. New Orleans there until recent times. Pontchartrain Beach is closed now.
Yeah.
But it was a great contest.
Yeah. Yeah. Boyer told me about that. I guess he won that as well. Yeah.
He won that as well. Yes, sir.
Yeah. He said that was the biggest audience he ever posed in front of.
Oh, you'll never get a bigger one. Back then we didn't have 4,000 people watching the contest.
Right.
Pontchartrain Beach did.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. So was it like an outdoor festival and then people would just,
it was
stop
outdoors. Watching? It was on the beach. And they'd have some type of act. In fact, a gentleman who was a member of my club, and boy, you knew him very well, Ben Mouton, he performed at Pontchartrain Beach on a sway pole.
Hmm.
And he opened Pontchartrain Beach every year, and it was about the same time the Mr. New Orleans was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So was it just a contest that was going on that day, or did they have like a festival and people would just stop by the contest?
Oh, no, it's just a contest.
Just a contest.
They held a Mr. New Orleans and a Miss New Orleans at the same time.
Okay. Huh.
And I would say that the girl that won was a lot better looking than me. She probably had a better body too.
Yeah, right. Now, did they charge an admission charge for this, or could
no,
you
just, it's wide
just
open.
Watch? Okay.
I mean, it was wide, and the people all over the place.
Yeah. So how did your body look back then when you were a teenager? Were you developing pretty good?
I thought I looked pretty good, but I probably didn't.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. I was just a kid.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for me to develop. I wasn't any natural person at all in any shape or form.
Yeah. So you didn't, you don't think you had like good genetics for building up real easily?
Oh, no, sir. That's one thing I didn't have.
Okay.
But eventually you work hard enough, something happens.
Yeah. So were you kind of thin, Red? I mean, was it hard to
build? Yes, I was on the thin side.
Okay. All right. So how did you develop your physique? Was it just going heavier and lifting and eating a lot of food?
Just kept working out and eating.
Yeah,
there's no secrets to all this stuff.
Right.
And back then, of course, there was no medication you could take. And everybody was what we call them now, natural bodybuilding.
Natural, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody was natural.
Yeah.
Probably mainly because there was no stuff out there.
Right. It wasn't available. Yeah. Right. And then you trained. How long did you train at home before you went to a gym?
Well, actually, Joe Gold opened up a gym in New Orleans. Joe Gold was a
student. No kidding. Wow.
And he used to come into New Orleans all the time on a ship. And he opened up a gym called Ajax Gym.
Huh.
And it was right on Canal Street. Canal Street's the main drive. And so as soon as he opened up, I was there.
Wow. What year was that? Do you remember?
Oh, that would have been probably about 52.
52, okay.
53, maybe, but I would suspect 52.
Okay, all right. So when did you start competing in like the bigger shows? Like I know you won the Mr. America, but what other shows did you do before that?
Oh, well, my main, in other words, I won the Mr. New Orleans and then I went in the Navy. So in Hawaii, I won the Mr. Hawaii, the Mr. Hawaiian Islands, and I also won Mr. Armed Forces when I was there.
Oh, okay.
And that was probably my big push in bodybuilding. And then I ended up coming to the Mr. America, and this would have been in 1959.
Yeah.
And it was in New York, Pennsylvania. I was there, and then I came home on leave a little bit because I hadn't taken any leave, so I had a lot of leave to come to me.
Okay.
And when I and then I started working out real hard, I met a guy by the name of Mike Stansberry, owned a health club in Lafayette.
Okay.
And then I came to work for him. He offered me a job, and I had no job. So that was great for me. As soon as I got discharged, I was here.
Hmm. How long were you in?
1959.
Okay. How long were you in the Navy, Red?
4 years.
4 years? Okay. What years did you start? What, 1955? Was that the first?
Yeah, 55, and I got out in 59, September 9th.
Okay. Did you see
I started September 9th, 55.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Cool. And you were able to work out while you were in the Navy, right?
Well, not when we were at sea.
Yeah.
we'd go out to sea for 6 months.
Wow.
And I was on a submarine there with no room. And this is not a modern day submarine. These are all old World War II submarines.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was an electrician. And the big thing about being an electrician on a submarine is you water batteries. And it's not a battery like your car. You know, it's a monster. So that was one big thing.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was okay.
Yeah.
And when we'd come in, we'd go in dry dock for 6 months. So it's 6 months where I could really train.
Oh, okay.
And that worked out pretty well.
All right. Whatever city you're in or town you're in.
Oh, no, we're always in Hawaii.
Oh, you're always in Hawaii. Okay.
Yeah, we always came back to Pearl Harbor. That's where we were docked.
Okay. What part of the service was Bill in? Was he in the Navy as well?
He was in the Navy also, and he was on, surprisingly, a submarine tender in San Diego. So he never went to sea.
Oh, okay. He was always in San Diego then. Okay.
Yes.
And that's where he met Leo Stern, right?
Leo Stern's gym. Yeah, I went to work out there. I didn't meet Bill then. I didn't meet Bill. I saw him a few times. I went when he competed in the Mr. USA contest and won that. I was there in the audience.
Okay.
But I didn't know Bill at all then.
Hmm. How was the audience back then? I heard some of those crowds were pretty big back then.
Oh, they were.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big thing. Muscle Beach was right. It was really, really still rocking and rolling back then.
Really? You got a chance to go there?
Terminology.
You got a chance to go to Muscle Beach?
Oh, yeah. In fact, my wife and I drove to Muscle Beach this time. So I'm going to look at it again.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like it was in the 50s.
No. Right.
I mean, even Jack LaLanne was out on the beach.
Yeah. So, Red, what was it like back then? Was it in Santa Monica? And I heard that it was like in the basement or something. It was under a pier. Is that right?
What, Muscle Beach?
Yeah, Muscle Beach.
Oh, no, it was right on the beach, by Santa Monica Pier.
Okay.
And there's a big amusement center, right? It's the end of Interstate 10.
Okay.
And Muscle Beach is right there.
Okay.
And Interstate 10 goes through Florida all the way to Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. All right.
Yeah. Hey, you need to drive around. You'll figure that out.
Yeah, right. I need to get out more. So what was the atmosphere like on Muscle Beach? Was there a lot of people? Was it a big deal?
Back then?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, Pudgy Stockton. Remember pictures of her?
Yeah.
She was on the beach all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Jack LaLanne owned a health club not in San Francisco, but the next town right next to it.
Okay.
And he would drive to Muscle Beach to be there on Sunday.
Okay.
And then he'd close his gym on Saturday, jump in his car, and then he'd be on Sunday, and then he'd drive back Monday.
Oh, okay.
Work. Okay. I mean, Muscle Beach was something else back then.
Yeah, that's what I've seen pictures of it and stuff, and I've seen these massive crowds. It was unbelievable.
It was. It was. Yeah. Those days are gone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nobody there. All they have now is a little plaque says, "Home of Muscle Beach."
That's right. It. Yeah, yeah. I know. I was just out there a couple of weeks ago myself.
Yeah, so not much left.
So they had a gym, but most people were on the beach and performing and posing and stuff like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you saw the old pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how it was when I went there. It was pretty nice.
Wow. Okay.
Because there's no way in the world I would take my clothes off back then.
Really?
This is a long. I was just a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what was it like when you saw Bill win that Mr. USA contest? What did you think of his physique?
Well, he was the best in the world then. Mm-hmm. And was always the best in the world. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it just... Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, we just did a tribute show with Boyer and Richard Baldwin. And we were talking about Bill's posing, like how when he got up there, he had such a stage presence. You know what I mean?
Oh, he won the contest so easily, actually. But I can't remember all the names and all. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, even Clarence Ross was in the contest.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big event, I believe, yeah.
Malcolm Brenner, remember that name?
Sure, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. He was in the contest.
So seeing events like that must have really inspired you to want to
compete. Oh, no question.
Yeah.
I needed every inspiration I could get, and that was certainly a great one, yeah.
Yeah. What did the people like in your family and your friends think of you lifting weights and being a bodybuilder back then? Because it was so different back then.
Yeah, but nobody knew anything about it. So there wasn't a lot of criticism because they didn't actually do. I just lifting weights.
Okay. Okay.
And I had an uncle that did it. And there were a few people who worked out.
Okay.
The Miss New Orleans contest always had a pretty good crowd. Met 20 people, maybe, which is a lot back then.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I want to ask you about that 1959 Mr. America. So you got like 7th place in that. Where was that held? You said in California,
in New York.
Oh, in New York, Pennsylvania. Okay.
Yeah.
Did they have that in a high school, Red?
Oh, a gym somewhere.
Yeah.
I actually know it wasn't. It was at the park, that a racetrack.
Oh, okay.
And it was in the middle of that.
Okay.
I mean, it was opened up.
It was in a racetrack.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it is still there. My wife and I motorcycled, and we went through York, and we stopped. And they were having a monstrous car show there. And so we like cars, so we stopped, and we spent about a week there.
Okay.
Everything happened in that same park. So I had a good time going back.
Okay.
And then York was still in operation. They were still building equipment back then.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So went to York and kind of reminisce a little bit.
Okay. Did you meet Bob Hoffman back then in 1959?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
In fact, I saw Bob a lot when Boy was competing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now the next year you go from 1959 to 1960 and you win it. You go from 7th place to 1st place. So what did you do in that 1 year to change your body to go from 7th to 1st?
At that time, I had gotten out of the military. I was still in the military, but I was on leave, like. And I came home and worked out like crazy. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. So that was the difference, yeah.
And there was a young man named John Gergott.
Yeah, I remember him.
Well, John passed away, but he and I worked out together then.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, John was a good weightlifter too, wasn't he?
Oh, he was unbelievably strong.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that too, Red, because did they make you guys do athletic points back then where you had to lift weights and then you got like 5 points for the judging?
You didn't have to do it then, but I got my points from wrestling. I wrestled in high school.
Okay.
So, and then I was state champion in that. I was undefeated the whole high school career. I also wrestled in the Navy.
Oh, okay.
In San Diego, I made the wrestling team.
Huh. Okay.
So that all helped me. And that's all you had to do is have something like that.
Something to show you were an athlete, right?
Yeah, something, right.
Okay, okay.
But I also would get it with weightlifting because I also did a little weightlifting too.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like a lot of people back then were also, the bodybuilders were also into weightlifting.
You know, yeah, you did a little bit of both.
Yeah, okay.
Almost all of us did.
So with the wrestling...
You'd go to the contest and it's so boring sitting around all day.
Yeah.
That you'd compete because it was almost always held after weightlifting.
Right.
Including the Mr. America.
Right, right. That's what Boyer told me too.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's so different now compared to how it used to be.
Oh, it's a different world.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not only in bodybuilding, that's
everything, right? Exactly. Right. So when you got the athletic points for the wrestling, would you just tell them you were a wrestler and then they said, okay.
Yeah. And you know, you won state championship and whatever.
Okay.
And all that kind of worked.
Okay. Gotcha.
They did interview you.
Yeah.
See, sort of in the Mr. America contest, they didn't have any kind of posing or anything beforehand, but they kind of did because they also held America's Most Muscular Man.
Right.
And it was like on the night before. There was so they got to do like a little prejudging.
Okay.
And that worked out pretty well.
Okay.
And they're pretty, the contests were well done, I thought.
Okay. All right. So on Friday, they would interview you. They would have everybody come to the judges table and they would do a little interview with you.
Just ask you a few questions.
Okay. And then they would look at the competitors posing a little bit and they would do the Most Muscular Man for that.
Well, that night, yeah, there was a contest. There were some people who entered just for the American Most Muscular Man.
Okay.
Dan Lurie, SEAL Test Dan, the Muscle Man.
Yeah.
Well, he would come just for that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he won that contest many times.
Huh.
And I was lucky enough to win the Most Muscular Man and the Mr. America the year.
At the same time. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Which didn't happen a lot. A lot of times it was a different guy.
No, not back then.
Yeah. So what were they looking for with Most Muscular? Was it the most ripped or just the guy who had the best body, like the most muscle?
Well, I think number one, it didn't require any athletic points or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, you lose a couple of points, you lose the contest.
Yeah.
So you needed those athletic points kind of to win.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Would they interview the guys for Most Muscular Man too, or it was just the body?
Yeah, the interview was like the same the night before or something like that.
Okay.
It was a long time ago. I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
Right.
Yeah.
But so on Saturday then, you'd have to wait for the weightlifting to get over with, and then they would do the Mr. America.
Right? I think it was about 1 o'clock in the morning
when they had
the Mr. America contest. Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's crazy.
Yeah, it lasts all day.
Jeez.
I mean, and you get somebody like Norbert Szymanski, who was trying to set a new world record, which he did at almost every contest, but that would drag and drag and drag.
Oh my God.
Primarily, it was actually a weightlifting meet because Bob Hoffman was more into weightlifting than bodybuilding.
Right, right. And he just put the bodybuilding on the end.
Yeah, that was always at the end.
Yeah. So when you won Mr. America, did you get any publicity for that, Red? I mean, were you in the magazines? And
yeah, I was on a cover of a couple of magazines. And
okay.
Yeah. You get a little bit.
Yeah.
But living in Louisiana, publicity didn't mean a lot.
Right, right. So then you went over to the Mr. Universe, right, in London.
Yeah, in London. And I won my class there.
Right, right. So did somebody pay for you to go over there, or did you have to pay your own way?
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Well, I still had a few bucks left over from the military, so
okay.
I paid my way.
Okay. How was that? How was going to London? Was that fun?
I thought that was interesting. It picked you up at the airport. And I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And it was the only contest I'd ever been in that was prejudged.
Yeah.
It did have actual prejudging.
Okay.
Although the Mr. America was like that in a way because of the America's Most Muscular Man.
Yeah. Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that feel, winning your class? That had to be a good accomplishment.
Well, I felt pretty good. I mean, because I would have liked to win overall, but that didn't happen. Now, being a midget, I was in a midget class.
Right. Who won the overall that year? Henry Downs.
Henry Downs, yeah.
Yeah. He was the guy with the beard, right?
He had a beard. He was the first one. But he was something else. He sang.
Really?
He won the bar jumping contest, starting from the floor to jump on top of the bar. I mean, he was the winner, no question about it.
Wow.
And he had entered quite a few times. See, I was just barely an adult, you know.
Yeah.
When I look back, I realize I wasn't an adult.
Yeah. Did he sing on stage, Red?
No, he sang there.
At the concert? No.
But he was great at everything he did. No, he was a deserving winner, no question about it.
No kidding.
And he had competed probably 7 or 8 times. He wasn't a young man.
Right. Well, I read that. Yeah.
Back then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the show then they would have, I read this, I've been reading some of these old articles, you know, from some of those contests, and they would have strength acts and they would have singing and they would have all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, probably it was sort of for fun,
yeah.
But it also added to the contest.
Right. Hmm. Did you go to the party afterwards? The lawyer told me.
Yeah, everybody went. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I, when I left home, I didn't take any shots. You had to have shots to get back into the United States.
Oh.
And I was afraid to take them, so half of the guys that win the contest came to the hospital with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, I just had to sit there and wait my line, and they gave me my shots. We had a good time.
Okay.
And then we went to eat pizza at some place. I don't even remember.
This was after the show.
But it was a nice visit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay, cool.
And I had never been in that part of the world.
Right.
Submarine-wise, okay. I've always been on, like, Japan. You know, we have a submarine base in Yokosuka, Japan.
Okay.
So I went to all those cities in Japan and all.
Okay.
But
okay.
never on the Atlantic side.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So that was interesting too.
Now, what happened after that, Red? Did you decide to, you didn't compete anymore after that, right? You didn't do
it? Yes, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I went to a couple of contests. Well, I did a lot of competition in between before I won the Mr. America.
Okay.
Because there was a whole year period. And I won the Mr. Southern USA and stuff like that.
Okay.
But no, after that, I didn't compete again until Mr. America passed 40.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now,
and I didn't do well back then. I mean, I was married by then, had a couple of kids. And
yeah.
Life changed.
Yeah. Now, what was the reason you didn't compete after the Mr. Universe? Because there was really nowhere else to go? Because you're ready.
Not really. And look, my goal was to be Mr. America.
Okay.
And once I won that, I was kind of satisfied.
Yeah.
Now, Boyer continued competing. He competed a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went everywhere.
So
I did not do that.
When did you first meet Boyer? Let's talk about him.
Well, Boyer, I gave a little posing exhibition in Lake Charles. And Boyer's from Lake Charles. And he was in the audience.
I
did not meet him that night. But he was there, and then he came to the University. Well, it was SLI then. Now it's the University of Louisiana at Lafayette.
Okay.
And he came to school here, and from then on we worked out together. So we spent a lot of time together.
Okay. So he came to you and he said, "I want you to help me. I want to be a bodybuilder."
Well, you know, he was a bodybuilder.
He was a bodybuilder.
He had a hell of a set of arms even back then.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he had tremendous arms.
Yeah. Now, when you first saw him, could you see that he had potential to be a good bodybuilder?
Oh, no question about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a hell of a bodybuilder. I mean, he went all the way, you know. He could have won everything, and he almost did. You know?
Yeah, he almost did.
But he continued competing.
Okay. Now he told me.
I went to work and I'm still at work. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that too.
Yeah.
So with Boyer, he told me that you really helped him with his posing. He said you had a place downstairs or something and you guys would go down there and you would help him with the posing routines.
Yeah, we did a lot of that. Yeah, because he didn't practice that at all before.
Okay.
I think when he went to the Mr. New Orleans contest, he was just, a newcomer like to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he won that contest just like you did, right? As a
yes,
trainer.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He won everything. So anything I won, he would have won.
Yeah. Yeah, when I interviewed him, he said that was the biggest audience he ever posed for was the Mr. New Orleans.
Oh, no question about it.
Yeah.
And it's still quite a big contest. It's still being held.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It's probably the longest standing contest in the world.
Yeah, older than the Mr. America, right?
Oh, definitely. Mr. America's gone, really.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Wow, that's really interesting that you got to meet someone like that who went all the way in bodybuilding. You know, he had all that potential, and you guys were just in the same area, you know?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And Louisiana's not known to be good at anything other than eating.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
so how did you get involved in the gym business, Red? When did you decide to do that?
Well, when you look back, almost every Mr. America who won opened a gym.
Okay.
You know, like Clarence Ross had a gym.
Bill Pearl.
Bill Pearl.
Yeah.
Leo Stern, who never won but placed third.
Yeah.
He had a gym.
Yeah.
In fact, when I took two of the girls who worked for me, we went to one of the URSA meetings, and I took them to Leo Stern's gym.
Yeah.
I said, this was my goal.
Yeah.
And then every now and then when things get bad in the gym business, and lately there's been a lot of bad, I look at them and I said, boy, Leo Stern's gym looks good. It's still there. It's been there over 70 years.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when Boyer told me that a couple of weeks ago. He said it's still there. That's unbelievable.
It's still there.
Wow. When did Leo pass on? What year did he pass on?
I don't remember the day, but Boyer and I both went to the funeral. Probably close to 10 years ago, so he's been going quite a while.
Is somebody
his wife
in his
died before he did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Is somebody in his family running the gym, or did he sell it to somebody?
No. In fact, when I went there, the janitor who was cleaning it up a little bit was also the one who ran the gym.
Oh, okay.
I actually don't know who runs it.
Wow.
Because I've lost so much. I lost touch with all those people.
Yeah.
If it was Leo, I'd go to see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's still in San Diego then, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. Still in the same location.
Wow. If I ever go to San Diego, I'll definitely have to look that up.
Oh, you got to go to Leo Turner's gym.
Yeah.
It's in North Park.
North Park. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So when did you open up your first gym, Brad?
Oh, 1963.
Okay.
I rented a small piece of property, built a bunch of equipment.
Okay.
And started my gym.
Okay. And then when did you expand from then?
Oh, I kept expanding. And we expanded a lot. You know, the big expansion actually was when racquetball started.
Oh, yeah, in the 70s.
Yeah, and that would have been in the 50s.
Oh, 50s.
And after we opened up, racquetball came on. Back there wasn't really racquetball, it was handball.
Okay.
And so we built handball court, ended up with 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's totally dead.
Totally dead, right?
Even in San Diego, where it started, it's dead.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
happened.
You expanded into like a racquetball club and a weightlifting gym.
Yes, and then we had outdoor tennis.
Mm.
Well, like right now, I'm about 300,000 square feet.
Wow.
So we're giant size.
Yeah, that's what Boyer said. He said, you got everything in that gym.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
But Leo Stern gym looks pretty good sometimes when things get rough. Small is not bad.
Right, right. So how did you become a good businessman, right? I mean, you didn't have any training in that.
I don't consider myself a businessman. I just enjoy my job.
Yeah.
I still work. In fact, this morning I opened up at 2 o'clock.
Wow.
And I worked out after I opened up.
Now,
I'm not working out like I used to, but I still get to do something.
Yeah.
And you do what you can do when you get to be 86 years old.
Wow.
And working out, I tell you what you can't do. I can't change my workout around like I used to.
Mm.
I stick to the exercise I could do. And Bill was basically doing the same thing.
Okay.
He was still squeezing in a workout, but it's nothing like we did when we loaded the bar and did squats with 400 pounds
or yeah.
something like that. Now, those days are gone.
Yeah. So we'll
still
workout-
get to work out. And I work out 4 days a week. I ride a bike 6 days a week.
Really?
Okay. I don't do anything on Wednesday.
Okay.
Other than come to work.
Okay. You ride a bike outside or
work? I still work 10, 11 hours a day.
You ride a bike outside or stationary bike?
Outside.
Outside. Okay. How long do you ride a bike for?
An hour.
Okay. All right. So
I ride my bike and that's my educational time. I listen to a book on my phone.
Okay.
That's the only thing I do with this phone other than talk to you.
What's your workout like now, Red? Tell me about that.
Oh, I work out with weights, and it's mostly machines rather than barbells and dumbbells because I find that helps out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like everybody else. I have joint problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had limbs replaced. I've broken my leg. Mm. I've crashed airplanes a couple of times.
Really?
So I've done all kinds of little stuff that I shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And that comes back to haunt you when you get old.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get your shoulders replaced and it feels great. And then when you get to be about in your mid-80s, it starts hurting again.
So how long do your workouts take?
About an hour, hour and a half.
Okay.
And then, I still work out pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing like I did when I was competing, huh?
Right, of course. Do you go fast or do you just like do you superset or just do one set and rest? And
No, I basically take one exercise and I do like about four sets of it.
Okay.
And I go back and forth. Like in between all that, I'll put some leg presses in I still can do pretty well. You know, I can 300-400 pounds on the leg press.
Yeah.
But back then I could probably use 600 pounds.
Right, right.
That's but great. Equipment now, is, they kind of design equipment so you feel like you're a king out there.
Right, right. I think that's great. You're still doing it and you're still working out. That's really awesome. So your gym now, you said, is 300,000 square feet.
Yeah, probably more than that.
Wow.
It's hard to keep track. And just recently, and I've always added on. Because, I mean, I've always had trouble trying to be financially sound in the gym business because you have ups and downs. I mean, years ago, we're a big town for offshore drilling.
Okay.
Well, they moved that to Houston. And when that happened, we lost a tremendous amount of members because that's how this town existed.
Mm.
And from that point on, it's been back and forth a little bit, but all in all, we've done okay. I mean, I'm pleased.
Yeah.
And my hobby, I built 18 airplanes or restored 18 airplanes. That's my mother's fault. She showed me how to do that.
Hmm. Wow. Really? So she was into
that. Well, she did it with model airplanes.
Okay.
But it was still my beginning.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Kidding. So you used to fly airplanes then?
Yeah, I have I don't do it anymore because the airplanes I flew, very difficult to handle.
Uh-huh.
If I bought a Cessna 150 or a Cessna, I could fly, but that's not fun.
Okay.
Yeah, the old time, I have everything I built, rebuilt, was in the 30s.
Okay. Wow. And you said
they're all covered with fabric, and that's what I like to do, the fabric work.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you said you crashed a couple of planes?
Yeah, I've had a couple of accidents, engine failures.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. But I've managed to live through all of them.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
So when did the engine fail? When you were up in the air and you had a crash?
Yeah. Well, normally the bad thing about engine failure is coming in for a landing. And that did happen to me one time. And that's the first leg I broke in a crash. But the runway was right in front of me. I didn't make it to the runway. So I touched down and everything was great until I hit a ditch.
Mm.
Next thing I know, we flipped over, rolled around, And when I looked down there, I saw bones sticking out of my leg. Wow. I said, this is not going to be my best day. And it wasn't.
Wow.
But I rebuilt the airplane, and it's still together. I'm not flying anymore, but it's there.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. How many brothers and sisters did you have, Red, in your family?
I just had a brother.
Just had a brother? Okay. All right. And your parents grew up in that area too, right?
I grew up in New Orleans area, west bank of the river, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
So you're coming up on 60 years of owning your gym, right? If you started in 63?
It'll be 60 years, January 13th this year.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
I've been married 60 years, same woman.
Really? Congratulations.
Had a kid 60 years ago.
Wow. That's great. Yeah. That's the year
I was born. Everything happened 60 years ago.
Yeah. That's the year I was born, too, in 1963.
Well, I wasn't born then. That's when I was trying to be an adult.
Right. So what do you have at your gym? Boyer told me that you have everything in that gym. You can do anything you want in that gym.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff, and we're getting ready to add on again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I bought a piece of property attached to me, and we've been lucky that the man who owned all the property around me, for some reason, he sells me property, but he hasn't sold property to anybody else.
Wow!
And recently, there was a little store close to me, and he owned that, and he passed away. But his family came in. And my dad said, if you want it, it's yours.
No kidding.
So I bought it, too. So I bought every piece of property. I have about 25 acres of land.
Wow, no kidding.
And a monstrous parking lot. We have over 700 parking places.
Wow. Yeah, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, we're okay. And thank God we filled them up.
Yeah, that's great. Congratulations on having such a great business. Yeah. So do you keep up with bodybuilding at all anymore, Red? Do you follow the shows?
I don't read the magazines anymore. Yeah. And I think you'll find all the old timers don't anymore.
Right.
But I do keep up with a little bit. And we have a lot of bodybuilders here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Local contest. We have a local contest in town.
Okay.
And I go to it. Years ago, we used to hold one of the contests for the Mr. Olympia, where you had to qualify to get into they changed all that.
Okay.
But Arnold and all those people came here back then when they were competing. Yeah.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet Casey Viator? Because he was from Louisiana.
Yeah, Casey trained here.
Okay.
Yeah, Casey, of course, passed away. Yeah.
Yeah.
But his last part of his life was in Florida.
In Florida, in Clearwater, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got a chance to meet him, but of course
he was quite a bodybuilder.
Oh,
I mean, he had muscles like nobody had muscles.
Yeah, yeah.
He would put a lot of people to shame back then.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame he didn't, like, right after he won the Mr. America, it's a shame he didn't keep going. You know, he took a little bit of a layoff there.
Yeah, and he kind of ate too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he probably weighed close to 300 pounds when he
died. Did he really? Wow, no kidding. So the guys today, the bodybuilders today are so much bigger. What do you think of all that? Like, how do you think it's changed?
Well, I think they take a little more stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yet none of that existed back in the 40s and 50s.
Right.
And even the early 60s, that happened sort of later on in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so back then it was kind of more about health, right? More about health and building
Your
body.
Well, I thought we looked at trying to be healthy and weight, and also be athletic of some type.
Yeah.
That's gone now.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, everybody, every time I get somebody on the show that was around back in your era or the era right after yours, I always ask them what they think about how it's changed, because it has, you know, like you said, everything changes, right?
Everything.
Yeah. Okay, Red. Well, listen, I want to thank you for joining me. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, sir. One day, call me again.
All right. I definitely will. I would love to have you back on. It was a pleasure talking to you. Boyer always speaks really highly of you. And it was really great to get to talk to someone of your status, you know, competing all those years ago. And of course, I knew who you were all these years, so it was really great to talk to you.
Well, thank you, John. Have a great day.
All right, you too, Red.
Thanks. It was a pleasure. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thank you very much to Red Laurel for joining us on the show. He's a really special guy, so I'm glad he took the time to talk to us on the show. It was really, that was a great interview. Thanks also again to Boyer Co. for setting that up. I appreciate it. All right, I want to thank all our Patreon donors for sponsoring another episode of the show. You guys are what keeps the show going, so thank you very much. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon donor, you can just go to our website, bodybuildinglegendsshow.com, and you could also become a Patreon donor yourself. The link is right in the upper right-hand corner, and I try to send out something extra to our Patreon donors every week or every couple of weeks, and this week I will be sending you guys the article from this issue, which is all about the 1960 Mr. America. It's called Laurel and Routledge, Top Men in Mr. America Contest, written by Perry Rader. So I'm going to send you guys the audio of this interview this week. So check that out if you are a Patreon donor. All right. So without any further ado, I do want to read this article called How I Became Mr. America. It was written by Perry Rader, as told to by Red Laurel. In the year of 1936, on June 9th, a child was starting a life that, while very unopposing, then was destined to flash before the world 24 years later, when this skinny kid had become transformed into the finest physical specimen in America and was hailed as the new Mr. America. Even yet, his friends and relatives can hardly believe it is the same Lloyd Laurel that started high school weighing a skeleton-thin 112 pounds at a height of 5'5½". This boy had lots of ambition, even though he was skinny and weak. He had a determination and patience that knew not the meaning of failure. He was determined to overcome his handicap of weakness, and as a freshman in high school, acquired a set of weights and began training. Even though he knew but little about correct training, and his methods may have at times been a little crude, he did begin making progress, and by the time he reached his sophomore year, he weighed 145 pounds and began training for the high school wrestling team. Here again, his grim determination and intense application paid off, for he won the 145-pound class wrestling championships. The following year, with more muscular body weight from barbell training, he won the 165-pound class, and in the senior year, he won the 175-pound class. He has a terrific record of never losing a match during his high school career. He also won the Mr. New Orleans title in his senior year. Before Lloyd could get into college, his Uncle Sam decided he needed him in service, and that is where he spent his time for several years. During this time, and while stationed in Hawaii, he won the Mr. Hawaii title. Here's a list of titles to date. Mr. New Orleans, 1955. Mr. Armed Forces, 1958. Mr. Hawaii, 1958. Mr. Hawaiian Islands, 1958. Mr. Baton Rouge, 1959. Mr. Dixie, 1959. Mr. East Coast, 1959. Mr. Houston, 1959. Mr. Southern USA, 1960. And was second in the Junior Mr. America held in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where he was also chosen most muscular in 1960. Like many of you who read Iron Man, Lloyd did not find that added body weight and muscles came easy. He had to work very hard for every ounce and every inch gained. His gains were not sensational or fast, but steady over a long period of time. He followed a regular standard barbell program during his early years of training, but now usually outlines his own training system according to his needs. During his preparation for the Mr. America contest and other contests, he works on a very strenuous program. On 3 days per week, he works his upper body. On the other 3 days, he works his lower body. In other words, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he'll work on the upper body, and on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, he'll work the lower body. It takes about 2.5 hours for his specialized training program, and he works quite fast, allowing about 1 minute or less between sets and very little, if any, rest time between exercises. On some days, he will use lighter weights and high reps, while on other days, he will use heavy poundages and lower reps. It all depends on how he feels. All his exercises, with the exception of the high pull-ups, are performed in strict form. He does 3 or 4 sets of each exercise and 3 exercises for each body part. This takes about 10 sets for each body part. He plans his workouts in this manner to obtain 10 sets per body part. For the upper body, he does press from behind the neck, four sets with 175 pounds, upright rowing for three sets with 135 to 165 pounds, lateral raises to the side with three sets for 35 to 45 pound dumbbells, incline dumbbell bench press, four sets with 80 to 100 pound dumbbells, four sets of flying exercise on a flat bench with 60 to 100 pound dumbbells. He uses different poundages depending on whether he's doing high reps or low reps. Dips on parallel bars. This is his favorite exercise. Four sets with 80 to 100 pounds tied to his waist and about 15 reps. Wide grip chins to the front with 25 to 35 pound dumbbell on the waist and four sets and 15 reps. He has made six reps with a 70 pound dumbbell on his waist. Chin to the back of his neck, three sets with the 25 pound dumbbell. High pull-ups for the trapezius with 250 to 300 pounds for three sets. Incline bench curls, four sets with 60 to 75 pound dumbbells. Flat bench curls with 45 to 55 pound dumbbells. French curls standing with 125 to 145 pound barbell, back of the neck and holding one end, four sets. Lat machine press downs, three sets with 110. Single dumbbell French curls with 90 to 100 pounds, three sets. And sit-ups, five sets of 50 reps on an incline bench. On his lower body workouts, full squats, four sets with 250 pounds and 25 reps, and working up to 350 for five or six reps. Front squats, three sets of 225 to 250 pounds. Hack squats, three sets of 10 to 15 reps with 205 to 225 pounds. Toe raises, 15 to 20 sets of 25 or more reps. Sometimes he uses a barbell and sometimes a calf machine or the donkey toe raise. His calves and thighs are hard to develop, so he works them especially hard and once gained 1.5 inches on his calves in 4 months by working on the program like this every day. Here's a suggestion for you fellows who find calves hard to develop. Leg raises, three sets of 100 reps. The above completes the program he uses in preparing for a contest. At other times, he uses a similar program, but only trains three times per week and cuts down on the exercises and cuts out some of the sets. Again, he sometimes uses very heavy weights and at others, light weights, doing high reps or low reps, depending on the poundage. His workout programs then last about 1 to 1.5 hours. Lloyd never eats pastries and he's careful of his diet at all times and includes plenty of vegetables, fruit, and meat. During his special training periods for a contest, he eats only fruit, meat, and vegetables, no other foods. His body weight usually stays around 175 to 185, though it has been as high as 200. At that time, he had an 18-inch arm and a 51-inch chest with a 34-inch waist and 25-inch thighs. At the present time, weighing about 185, he has a 49-inch chest, 17.25-inch arm, 31-inch waist, 16.25-inch calf, 24-inch thighs, and a wrist of 8.5 inches. His wrist is large, though his ankle is quite small, which makes his calves look rather good. His height is 5'6", among the shortest men to win the title. Lloyd was also the wrestling champ while in service. He's now attending the Southwest Louisiana Institute in Lafayette, Louisiana, taking an engineering course. Lloyd Lorel is a very personable young man and interesting to talk to. He has a sparkling personality and he tells many amusing stories of his early training. He's an excellent tumbler and gymnast and tells of the time he was learning the somersault or flip. He came home and wanting to show off to his mother, asked her to come to the backyard and watch. You guessed it. He turned over just enough to land square on his head and there he was with his head stuck in the mud. Once after seeing a fire eater performing, he asked to be taught how it was done, which was agreeable to the fire eater. As a consequence, and after some practice and burned lips, Lloyd became an accomplished fire eater. We don't know what this aggressive young man will do next, but we do know that he's entering the Mr. Universe contest in September in London, and we wish him the best of luck, and we hope he brings the title home. You'll hear a lot more from this young man in future issues of Iron Man. A phone call to his home just now reveals that he is extremely busy with banquets and shows around his hometown, which is quite proud of him, as they might well be. All right, the end. Good article by Lloyd Lorel, or Red Lorel, as we call him. And he was a great guy, and I hope I get a chance to talk to him again. But the article does not mention that Red went on to start a huge health club, starting with gyms, and now he owns this huge health club in Louisiana called Red's, So he is a very successful businessman. So good for him. Family man, businessman, and a great bodybuilder, just a great guy. So I'm glad we got a chance to talk to him. All right, guys, that is it for the show. Next week, we should be talking to Dominic Giuliano, who was an old school bodybuilder back in the Muscle Beach days. And Dominic competed in some of the early IFBB shows in the 1960s. And he also performed an act, an acrobatic hand balancing act with his wife. So he sounds like a really interesting guy with a lot of good stories. So we'll hopefully be talking to Dominic next week on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And check out my Muscle Maturity podcast as well. That is on YouTube under Old School Labs. And I do that every week with Nick Trigilli and Samir Banu. So we will have that one up again this week. All right, guys, that is it. Hope your workouts are going well. Stay safe, train hard, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care.